Okay. I wanted to share with you today a Torah that I want to share with you a Torah that is it is completely my own. So if you don't like it, that is totally fine. You can just ignore it. I hope that it resonates with you. I hope that it makes sense. It's something that I've developed and I've thought. But again, I haven't seen it anywhere, so I hope that somebody else says it. Sometimes people like to say things hoping nobody else says it. I actually hope that somebody else says it, because if somebody else says it, that means that maybe there's MS to it, as opposed to me just suggesting it myself. But it starts, and we're gonna look at the sources inside. This is gonna be a very I guess a Tanakh focused shiur, and a very words focused shiur. I am a lover of the Hebrew language. I'm not an expert in it, but I am a lover of the fact that I like the way words are used in Tanakh, the way that we have certain sharashim that are kind of used in almost opposite contexts, which is actually pretty common. And words that we kind of assume a meaning to be one thing, we see that sometimes it's not exactly so clear. So what we're going to do today, in preparation for Rosh Hashanah, which is, I can't believe already, less than a week away, but we're going to, in preparation for Rosh Hashanah, we're going to talk about the description of the Torah of Rosh Hashanah. So I'm going to share my screen, and I'm going to jump right in. If you look at the Torah in Parshas Pinchas, the Torah says that that on the seventh month, the first of the month, is going to be a holy day for you. Don't do any work. Yom Shru'ah Yelachem. This should be a Yom Shru'ah for you. So my question that we're going to deal with today is, what exactly does it mean that it is a Yom Shru'ah? What exactly does it mean that it's a day of Shru'ah? Now, the obvious answer, which I know you're all going to tell me, is, what do you mean? It's just the day of blowing the shofar. That's the highlight of the day, right? It's what centers us on the day. So it's the day of shofar blowing. So I want to be a little bit more specific and a little bit more detailed about that, and articulate my question. The Torah doesn't say Yom Shofar Yelachem, right? It doesn't say Yom Tekiah Yelachem. It says Yom Shru'ah Yelachem. So what I want to talk about is the meaning of this word Shru'ah, where it comes up in other contexts, what exactly is the root of this word Shru'ah, and then how that possibly sheds light onto the essence of what exactly Rosh Hashanah is all about. That's my goal for the next, for the next half hour or so. So in order to do this, we're going to jump into another part of Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshas Baalotzva. So if you look at the next source in Parshas Baalotzva, we find, I'm going to zoom in a little bit. I'll try my best to zoom in as much as I can for you so we can see it a little bigger. So if you look at the psukim in Parshas Baalotzva, it talks about the idea of Vayidbar Moshe l'mor. Hashem says to Moshe, "Asei lecha shtei chatzotzros kesef. I want you to make these two chatzotzros. I want you to make these two horns. Kesef, miksha tasa osam, right? You should make it. Why are you making these vessels? Because these trumpets, these horns, are going to be used to call out to the nation and for the traveling. V'taku bahen v'nodo kolida. You're going to be tokeya in them. I forgot to bold that one, and because we're on Zoom, I can bold it as we go. V'taku bahen. When you're tokeya in them, right, then all the nation will gather basically at the Pesach Olamoid. If at once you do this tekiah, so it's going to be a sign for the nesiim and the leaders. Utakatem shrua. And if you do a tekiah of a trua, and I'm purposely not translating these words, then the whole nation is going to travel. Utekatem Shrua Shenis, Vinasu Hamachas Achanam Teimana. So first the ones on the east are going to go, and then the ones on the west are going to go. Shrua Yitzgu L'maseyem. Again, you're going to have this Shrua for their travels. Uba Hakil Es HaKa'al. And when you gather the people, Titzga'u V'lotaria. So we want a Tekia and not a Shrua, says the Pasuk. The only people who should really be blowing these chatzotzros are the Bnei Aaron, and that's what it should be. So far what we have in this pasuk, just to be clear, is the idea that when you are tokeya and you have a trua, the tekios are going to be used to gather, that's pasuk Zion, and the trua sound is going to be used to divide the camps in order to spread out and travel. The Psukim add a few more things. Pasuk Tes, V'chisavo, V'milchama, V'arsachem, Al-Tarat, V'arsachem. If you're going to go into war, V'harayo, Usem, V'chatzosos. Again, you're going to have a trua with the chatzosos. V'skatzon, Hashem, V'gevim, Nashatim, Yaveichem. You're going to use a trua when you go to war. V'yom, Simchastem, V'dachem, Rosh, Chachachachem. And on your holidays, to Tzekatem, V'chatzosos, Al-Losichem, Azim, Cheshamechem, V'yilachem, Zikaron, Lefnei, Elokechem, Ani, Hashem. So say the psukim that if you're going to have a holiday, then you're going to have a tekiah. So what you see from these psukim are a number of things. I'm going to stop my share and go back to sharing throughout this year. What you see from this source is the following. You see that they use tekiahs and truas. You see that they use tekiahs and truas differently. And you see very clearly that you can't use a tekiah in the place where you need a trua, and you can't use a trua when you need a tekiah, right? The Pasuk Zion, which I'll put up on a second back on the screen, said, takiu velo tariu. It tells us very clearly, do a tekiah, don't do a trua, meaning these are distinct sounds. So what I want to talk about is, well, what are these distinct sounds, and what's the shoresh that brings us to it? So I wasn't the first person or the last person who was interested in the Hebrew language. We were blessed to have an amazing, amazing guide in Rosh Hashanah Paul Hirsch, amongst others, who really cared about the details of, you know, what words mean and how they apply. And Rav Hirsch here has a beautiful kind of explanation of what's going on in these psukim. So I'm going to quote Rav Hirsch. This is a translation that is not my own. It's Daniel Haberman. Rav Hirsch wrote in German. Right? So there's a translation in the Feldheim edition, and it goes as follows. From verse 7, it is clear that Tekia and True are two different notes. Okay, we're going to skip the rest of this paragraph for a second. Well, what are these two notes? So skip to the second paragraph. The original meaning of Taka is to thrust, to forcefully insert something. Example, to drive a nail into the wall or a peg into the ground. A Tekia, the sound Taka, forget about music for a second. Taka means to push something in with force into something else. So to put a nail into a wall where it's used in the Torah in that context, or a peg into the ground, that's the shoresh taka. Says Rav Hirsch, transferred to the sphere of music, taka denotes the forceful and prolonged blowing of a column of air into a wind instrument, and tekia denotes the strong, sustained tone produced thereby, which penetrates the ear. Thus, the special meaning of tekia, the even, continuous, unbroken tone of a wind instrument, which the Gemara refers to as a pshuta, a simple sound. Now, simple doesn't mean simple. It means a consistent, solid sound. Explains Rav Hirsch, right, what's the shoresh taka? To thrust something forcefully. When it comes to shofar, music, right, what is it? The tekiah is that strong, sustained sound which, like, pierces the ear in that way. It's a piercing sound because it's a direct, continuous sound, which we can all appreciate. Again, just listening to the shofar, we can appreciate that definition. That's the tekiah. What is the trua? So explains Rav Hirsch, the meaning of ro'ah, or resh ayin, is to break. Thus, tira'im v'shevet barzel, the pasuk in the beginning of Tehillim says, you should break them with a shevet barzel, with a, like an iron staff, right? What does that mean in connection with music? In connection with music, the root denotes a broken, trembling tone composed of several short blasts, which are a trua, right? When it comes to music, right, again, when it comes to music, the trua is a broken sound. Now, let's just go back. I'm going to be a little bit engaging here for a second. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to participate. If you don't participate, that's okay too. Okay, but let's try and participate for a second. Where were the two places? There are two places where we use a tekiya, and there's two places where we use a trua in the Torah and Balosa. Where do we use a tekiya? Did anyone catch? Where is the tekiya sound?
Beginning and end.
Where? No, not on Rosh Hashanah. Not on Rosh Hashanah.
When you want to gather to see him.
Gather the people, and where was the other time? Gathering was one, and what was the second one? Pasuk Yud?
I think exiting, leaving.
Nope. Exiting was a trua. Exiting was a trua.
War
was a trua. Tekiah was on the holidays, and tekiah was when you wanted to gather the people to encamp. So you're gathering the people, and you have a holiday, it's a tekiah sound. When you go to war, or when you're trying to dismember the camps, you're trying to travel, right? So you're going to do a trua sound. Explains Rav Hirsch beautifully, it's not on the source sheet anyways, even though I'm not sharing the source sheet with you, explains Rav Hirsch beautifully, that makes sense with the sound. Tekiya is a unifying sound. It's one long sound telling me gather together, telling me come together, right? So on holidays, and when we're trying to gather the camps, we're trying to unify everyone, right? So we have a tekiya sound. A trua is a breaking down sound, right? Because the root is ra'ah, which is to break down. So when we break down the camp, or when we go to war and we send our different groups into different parts, so we blow a trua, right? And the sound, again, and not just that the sounds distinguishing different things that we do, the sounds represent the root of the word, right? Which is ra'ah or taka, right? A tekiya is a solid, strong sound. A trua, right, is a brokenness sound, right? That's the idea. Now let's come back to Rosh Hashanah for a second, right? If I were going to ask you on Rosh Hashanah, right, which sound would we tell, which is the sound of Rosh Hashanah, would it be the sound of the tekiah? Or would it be a sound of the trua? Is it a breaking down sound, right? Or is it a one strong, powerful sound, right? What is the sound, right, of Rosh Hashanah? So what would you have said? I'm just curious. What would you have said if I didn't tell you anything? If I didn't tell you what the Torah calls it, what would you have said?
The trua kind of breaks a person down.
The trua breaks a person down, what he says. Okay.
If it's a holiday, you would want a tekiah.
Oh, it's a holiday, right? You should want a tekiah, right? And anything, and Yom HaDin, right? You would want that one solid tekiah to represent the unity of Hashem, maybe.
And,
right?
to assemble everybody.
Right. On the holiday. Excellent. So I would have said like you too, Jonathan, which is that like you want a tekiah sound, right? It's a holiday. You want to assemble everyone together. But that's not what it says, right? The definition of Rosh Hashanah is actually the trua sound. It's not the tekiah sound. We never find Rosh Hashanah called Yom Tekiah, right? It's always called Yom Trua, right? So what's the pshat in Yom Trua? So I thought like Maish. So we have to say pshat, right? So what's pshat in Yom Trua? Yom Trua is that the goal of the day is that a person breaks themselves down, right? They're mishaber themselves, right? They break themselves down in order to come before the king. What's tshuva, right? Tshuva, we're trying to the time of tshuva, repentance, you want to come before Hashem. So we're going to come before Hashem, right? Through the method, right, of breaking ourselves down, of humbling ourselves, of being lower, of being smaller, right? There's this idea of kind of, you know, breaking ourselves down in order to come closer to Hashem, right? To show, let's say, we'll call it katnas ha'adam, to show the smallness of man, right? That's what I wanted to say, right? So Maisha, we're right on the same page. I wanted to say just like you. The problem is, and it's not necessarily a problem, is that the word trua has another meaning in a different context. So we're going to go to another pasuk now. I have to share the screen again. We're going to go to another pasuk. The pasuk in also Sefer Bamidbar. The pasuk in Parshas Balak, when in the curses or the blessings, really, that Bilam says about the Jewish people, he says the following. In pasuk Parashas Gimel, pasuk Chabalat, he says, Lo hibit avon b'Yaakov, I don't see any like iniquity, any sin within Yaakov. I don't see any amal here. It's used to mean sin also. I don't see any sin in the Jewish people. Hashem Elokav Imo. Hashem is God is with him. Utruas Melech Bo. And the trua of the king is in him. So what is this Truas Melech Bo? What is this language of Truas Melech? So if you look at Rashi on the spot, Rashi in source number 5 says, "What's Shuas Melech? Lashon Chiba v'Reyes." It's closeness, it's connection. Kamo Ra'a David, right? Oev David, right? We call a Roe Re'eyu v'Afta l'Re'a v'Kamocha. The word Re'a, right? Re'a is a friend, right? In the Hebrew language, right now.
So it's got nothing to do with a shofar.
What do you mean?
Truas Melech Bo is the friendship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with him, i.e., B'nai Yisrael. It's got nothing to do with Trua, with a shofar.
Good. So I knew there was going to be a real Dick Duck expert here on the call, and I knew that was going to be someone. And they were going to tell me that the word Trua here, and the word Trua in Parshas Ba'aleispa and at Yom Trua Yelachem, they have no relationship. They're two totally different words who happen to sound exactly alike, right? Now, it could be on a technical level, right? It could be on a technical level that Maish, you're right, that the Shoresh here is Reish Ayin Hey, and the Shoresh earlier is Reish Ayin Ayin, in which case these two words are not the same. However, I would say that's too much of a coincidence to say that these two words have nothing to do with each other. They sound literally exactly alike, right? The Trua of Rosh Hashanah and the Truas Melech Bo of this pasuk and the other places where we see the word Ra'ah used in that way, they it feels like they have what to do with each other. It feels like, pun intended, they're friends. It feels like they're related a little bit. And I want to suggest a pshat of how the Yom Trua Yelachem can incorporate both the idea of Chiba and Reyos and the idea of breaking ourselves down and humbling ourselves. So if you look in source number 7 here, okay, there's a pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya. I'll be honest with you, full disclosure, I'm not an expert in Sefer Yeshaya. I don't know enough about the context of this pasuk, but we're not going to use it for its context. We're going to use it for its grammar. The pasuk says, Ro'a Hisro'a'a, it's going to break you down. It's going to break down the land. Kor Hisforah Aret, the land is going to be broken down in a different language of Kor. Motis Motaret, the land is going to like disintegrate, kind of disappear. It's a prophecy that Yeshaya is telling us about what's going to happen if people don't follow the ways of Hashem, right? But there are two different words in this pasuk used to mean to break down. Now we saw earlier that Ro'ah Reish Ayin means to break down, right? And Kor in this pasuk, Hispora Raharas, also means to break down. And we turn now to our other friends, our other great, great friend of Diktuk in the Torah, probably, to me, the greatest source of Diktuk when it comes to how to really understand words, and not just words, but the difference between words, is the Malbim. The Malbim is really amazing at the way that he breaks down the meaning of words. So the Malbim tells us here in his Perush Hamilos, his Bir Hamilos, that there's a difference between the breaking down of Ro'ah and of Kor. And we're going to read it inside. The Malbim says, Ro'ah rak haritzot. Ro'ah is only the crushing. V'adayin hachalakim medubakim. But the pieces are still attached. Kor, who hisparer ha'etzim l'chatichos ketanos. But Kor is where you break something to small pieces. They're totally detached. That's actually where the word pirurin, right, which means crumbs in the language of the Gemara, pirure lachem, excuse me, crumbs of bread, I didn't read the last line, right, says the Malbim the following insight. Even though roa and pur seem to mean the same thing, which means to break down and to crush, they're a little bit different, because roa is used when you break something down, but it's still attached at its core. Kor means to break something down, they're completely separate parts, they're tiny little crumbs that are separate, not attached to anything. If that's the case, here's what I'd like to suggest to you, and we're going to come back to Yom Trua Yelachem. I'd like to suggest to you that the root of Ro'ah, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, when it comes to the Trua sound in general, right, is yes, Ro'ah means to break down, but it's not a breaking down that it's going to be divided. Right? It's a breaking down while you're still part of the core. What does that mean, you're still part of the core? So when it comes to our avoda, right, and avodas Hashem, there's a breaking down, right, that is meant to bring us back together, meaning, yes, it breaks us down, but not in a sense of crushing us that we lose, right? That we're totally defeated, right? It's a breaking down so that we become stronger and better and closer through it, right? The analogy that I would give, which is one that maybe, you know, maybe we like this analogy and we don't like this analogy, but in sports, you'll often find that there are coaches who really like, you know, break players. That's the language that they use. They break players, right? They really like, you know, they push them to their limits and they really like knock their spirits down. But their goal is not to break the person. Their goal, right, is to expose their weakness so that they're going to be better in the end of the day. It's a tool, right, in the process of becoming greater, right? Perhaps we can say the following. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom Shrua Yelachem. And Shrua means both things. It means a breaking down. It's a day where we're supposed to break ourselves down. We're supposed to really humble ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're supposed to really take ourselves and say, you know, what am I compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And that Shrua, though, is also a Chiba and a Reyes. It's also a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because, yes, it's going to break us down, but the breaking down is still, the pieces are still attached, right? It's the language of the Malbim, right? Hachalakim Mendubakim, right? They're still attached. It's a breaking down, but the pieces are still attached because we're rebuilding ourselves. It's a breaking down to rebuild the parts that are still attached. And that's why the Yom Shrua Yelachem can both be that it's a day of breaking down and it's a day of Ava Vareyas, right? Achiva Vareyas, it's a day of connection because the breaking down connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'd like to suggest two further ideas based on this. Number one is, I'm going to go back to the Rav Hirsch for a second, but really I'm going to go back to the Psukim. If you look in the Psukim in Pasuk Hey and Pasuk Vav of Sefer Bamidbar, when it talks about the different sounds, so you may have noticed that it says Utakatem Shrua, right? Now, it's a little bit confusing because we just highlighted the fact that a takia and a trua are two separate sounds. So why would the Torah say takatem trua, right? They're two totally separate sounds. You should be tariu a trua and you should be takatem a takia, but you shouldn't be takatem a trua, right? So if you look at Rav Hirsch, I skipped the first paragraph before and I want to come back to now. The Rav Hirsch says there, right? It is clear that these are two different tones. Nevertheless, he says in verse 5, what does it say? It says, Utakatem Shrua and not Bahariosim, which would correspond to Tariua, verse 7. This teaches us that these two notes should be combined and that the Shrua should be introduced by a Takia. Accordingly, Shrua Yitka'u, of verse 6, right, the opposite, teaches that the Shrua should be concluded with a Takia. And this concurs with the halacha. The halacha is actually, and it's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Lamed Aleph and Aleph, which is that
shoot
every
time, for the help, shoot the lacha reha.
Exactly, like Ma'ish said, right? Every time we blow a trua, which we all know because we all do it, right? But every time we blow a trua, you need a tekiah before it and a tekiah after it. Now, what's the deeper meaning of that tekiah before and the tekiah after it? So I'd like to suggest exactly this idea, which is that a person may think, they may make the mistake to think that the goal of Rosh Hashanah is just to break yourself. Just be broken, right? And the tekiah, again, this is Derech Drush, not Pshat, Derech Drush, right? That the tekiah before and the tekiah after is a solid sound that's telling you, right? You're breaking yourself down, but the goal is to be solid. You have solid before, you have solid afterwards, but you need to break yourself down in the middle. Meaning there's a level of breaking down that the goal is to be whole in the end. It's not breaking yourself down for the sake of breaking yourself down. We're not just trying to crush people, right? We're trying to humble you, to break yourself down, to really go to your core, divide your parts and see who you are. In order that you'll come out as a tekiah. Meaning so takatem v'trua, the Torah itself says, refers, is hinting to this idea that anytime you blow a trua, we want to make sure there's a tekiah with it. We don't want you to get the wrong message. The goal is that you should have a trua, but it has to be with a tekiah before it and a tekiah after it to let you realize that the goal, right, the goal is to be tekiah. The goal is to be complete. You should have to break yourselves in between. And finally, there's a pasuk that we say in the pshat, finally in this pshat, there's a pasuk that we say in Tehillim. We say it, we say it on Rosh Hashanah a few times. We say it right before we go to the shofar, when the Baal Tokeah leads us in a few psukim. So one of the psukim we say is, Pasuk in Tehillim Perek Tezayin, Perek, excuse me, Perek Pei Tes, Pasuk Tezayin, Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Trua, right? Praiseworthy is the nation that knows the Trua. And again, what does that mean, knows the Trua? It's praiseworthy is the nation that hears the Trua, maybe, right? Praiseworthy is the nation that fulfills the Trua. What does it mean, praiseworthy nation that knows the Trua? Again, what's the knowing? I hear it. I hear it with my ears, right? On Rosh Hashanah, we all hear the shofar. There's not much knowledge, right, that it takes to hear a shofar. Just listen with your ears and you can hear the shofar. Perhaps, based on everything that we're saying, it's not that simple, right? The Trua, the Yom Trua Yelachem, is actually a very nuanced, complex idea. It's an idea that you're supposed to break yourselves down in order to build yourself up. And it's not so simple. You have to really understand the goal, right, of what's going on here. It's a Yom Trua Yelachem, and praiseworthy is a nation that's Yodei Trua, that really understands the Trua. It's not enough to just hear the Trua. Yes, it's great to hear the Trua, and the mitzvah is fulfilled if you go to Shul and you hear the shofar. But it's Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Trua. It's praiseworthy is the one who really understands the depth of the Trua, the idea that the Trua is both this breaking down, but the breaking down in a way of Chiva and Reyes, Takadosh Baruch Hu, that's a breaking down that really builds us up and builds us closer to Takadosh Baruch Hu. And if I could kind of bring this all together with another idea, and I'll stop my share for a second, actually. It's easier to see you all. So that's the end of my big Torah. If you're willing to listen until this point, that's my big Torah on the Yom Trua Yelachem. Again, that the Trua, just to summarize it, that the Trua has a double meaning. On the one hand, it's a breaking down. On the other hand, it's a breaking down that leads to Chiva and Reyes, that leads to a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And specifically, the word Ra'ah is used to represent that breaking down, because the Shoresh Ra'ah is a breaking down that the parts are still together. And that's the idea of the Malbim, bringing together the Malbim and the Rav Hirsch, and kind of putting these psukim together. Perhaps, again, take it or leave it. That's the main thing I wanted to share with you. But I want to just bring this together a little bit more. I always felt that that's really the whole idea. The whole idea of Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Trua, right? It's not a Yom Tshuva in the way that we normally think of it, right? Rosh Hashanah, even though we call it Yom Hadin, right? And it is a Yom Hadin. It's the day of judgment, right? It's interesting and it's almost conspicuous that there's almost no Tshuva and no discussion of judgment throughout the entire day, right? The entire day is actually spent talking about how awesome Hashem is. There's almost nothing that we talk about in the Rosh Hashanah davening. Really, almost nothing. If you look through the whole Rosh Hashanah davening, there's very, very, very little discussion about tshuva. And there is just some discussion about judgment, but there's not a lot of discussion about tshuva, about fixing ourselves, or correcting our sins. Right? The whole Yom Kippur, we go through a litany of every sin that we did wrong. Right? If anything, I would say it's a little counterintuitive. I should do that before, right, Yom HaDin, right? Before Yom HaDin, I should be going through the details of every single thing that I did wrong. I did this one, I did this one, I did this one, Hashem, and then go through the checklist so that when Hashem opens that book, I can say, you know, here's the things that I did right. And it's interesting that we don't do it that way. And I've always thought, and it really, really connects this idea of Yom Trua Yelachem, I've always thought that that it's actually not the idea. The whole essence of Rosh Hashanah is really about our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at large. And it's not about the individual sins and individual acts that we've done throughout the year. Honestly, positive and negative. It's not really about the sins. The real essence of Rosh Hashanah is, are you on board? Are you with me? Or are you not with me, right? And how do you find out if you're with Hashem? What does that mean that you're with Hashem? It means that we talk about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. We talk all day, but Hashem is the King and Hashem runs the world and you are the one who created the world, and you know, Malchus, Sophronos, Shofros, all of this is really all about, right, being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not about my individual actions as much as it's about focusing on the fact that, like, I'm on board with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your king, your message, and whatever that you're trying to do, right? And that's really the focus of the day. And that's why it's Yom Trua Yelachem. Again, this Yom Trua, it's a humbling of myself, right, in order to feel that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the master and ruler of the king. That's the whole goal of the day. It's not about, I almost would say, it's not about me, right? When I talk about everything that I've done wrong, so it's about me, right? It's about me. Hashem, I did this, Hashem, I did this, Hashem, I did that. That's not the focus of the day. The focus of the day is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? In order to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to realize how awesome and amazing Hashem is. And that's really the focus of everything that we're doing. And Yom Shura Yelachem, again, it's a coronation of our king, right? And we use the shofar to coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to use it in that way, and to humble ourselves in that mission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we're trying to do. We're humbling ourselves and connecting ourselves to Hashem in that way. And I really believe that that's really the essence of Rosh Hashanah, what it is. There's a tradition in the name of the Gruff that I sometimes share, even though we don't generally talk this way about Rosh Hashanah. There's just in the name of the Gra, that you're actually not supposed to ask any personal request in Rosh Hashanah. Your personal requests you can make on Yom Kippur, but in Rosh Hashanah, you're actually not supposed to make any personal requests. And again, it's a very lofty idea. I mean, most people sit on Rosh Hashanah all day and daven for their health and their family's health and all those things. And again, and what's the tradition of the Gra? So again, I think the tradition of the Gra is really this exact idea, which is that when you're davening for all those things, again, I don't want to misrepresent it, but there's a certain level of like self-focus again. It's not about me, right? Today's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what I'm saying, runs the world, wants A, B, C, D, D, that's also important. And we have Yom Kippur for that, for our personal accounting. But Rosh Hashanah is really about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that tradition of the Gra is a very powerful idea. Again, whether or not we do it exactly or don't do it exactly, it's a very powerful idea to make Rosh Hashanah not about ourselves, but it's a Yom Truah Yalachem. It's a day of Truah, a day of, again, coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the shofar, and realizing how small we are and how close we want to be to Him through the through everything that's going on. I think it's really a very powerful idea that speaks to the essence of what really the day is. So again, I appreciate you engaging me and you allowing me to come share some Torah with you. I hope it resonates. We have a double problem. I'm going to end about 5 minutes.